Good morning. This is Nick Geyer taking you on a tour of the land of Genghis Khan. At a July 2005 tourist briefing in the capital of Mongolia, the public relations officer for the American Embassy described Mongolia as a good friend wedged between two bad neighbors, Russia and China. Being a good friend to the U.S. means that Mongolia gets $110 million in aid for improving health, education, and private business. In return, Mongolia is providing 150 troops for our war in Iraq. I asked the embassy official why it took so long to make friends with this former Soviet satellite. We recognized the Soviet Union in 1933 and Communist China in 1978, but have had diplomatic relations with Mongolia only since 1987, 3 years before the Soviets left the country. The answer was that Mongolia was a small nation that got lost and forgotten in the Cold War. Soviet allies in Eastern Europe, North Korea, North Vietnam, and Cuba got much more of our attention. Some say that the Mongolians took to communism more enthusiastically than the Russians. They produced their own Lenin, Sukhbatar, whose statue stands in the center of the capital city, Ulaanbaatar. Unfortunately, the Mongolians also created their own Stalin, Choelbasan, who ordered the execution or imprisonment of tens of thousands of Mongolians in 1937 and 1939, and he was responsible for the destruction of most of the 700 Buddhist monasteries. Thousands of Buddhist statues, paintings, and other artifacts were hidden away by the lamas, and Mongolian Buddhism is now making a dramatic comeback. The title Dalai Lama is a Mongolian phrase, and the fifth Dalai Lama was a Mongol. Indeed, if it had not been for the Mongolians, the Yellow Hat sect of Tibetan Buddhism would not be as dominant as it is today. This year, Mongolians will be celebrating 800 years as a nation, which is founded by Genghis Khan in 1206. Some parliamentarians are proposing to change the name of the capital city to Genghis City and replace Sukhbatar's statue with one of the Great Khan. To complete the nation's move away from communism, the tombs of Sukhbatar and Choelbasan will be removed from the front of the parliament building. Genghis Khan's army, tens of thousands of deadly, accurate bowmen on horseback, conquer most of China, Central Asia, and Russia, making it the largest land empire in history. The Mongols introduce gunpowder, paper money, freedom of religion, pony express, diplomatic immunity, and the idea of international law, as well as equality before the law. Genghis also outlawed slavery, torture, and the kidnapping of brides. 40% of Mongolia's 2.8 million people still live as nomads on what appears to be an endless expanse of pasture. Mongolia is the world's second largest landlocked country, about the size of Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana combined. The families we visited appeared to be healthy and happy. The open air and meat and dairy diet leads to a life expectancy of 68 years. A typical extended family has 200 to 300 goats and sheep and up to 100 horses. It is said that Mongolians learn first how to ride before they walk. The communist government established schools everywhere, and the country enjoys 97% literacy rate. Their vaccination rate actually is higher than ours. Young boys are usually held back as herders, but the girls are going to school in droves. Women undergraduates now represent 70% of university enrollment, and 80% of graduate students are women. In the most recent Fulbright competition for graduate study in the United States, 19 out of 20 finalists were women. Mongolian NGOs are led and staffed primarily by females. There are some serious discussions about what impact this will have on a once male-dominated society. There may be an increase in an already high male alcoholism rate and more cases of divorce and domestic abuse. When the Soviets pulled out in the early 1990s, Mongolia suffered a depression twice as bad as the Great Depression. Except for utilities, transportation, and the mines, all businesses are beginning to thrive in private hands. There have been regular elections since 1992, and despite problems with corruption and cronyism, Mongolia has a good chance to preserve its traditional culture as well as prosper as a liberal democracy. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, wishing you a good day.